very glad to have with us this morning Adigone Liberaki from Pantheon University in Athens and Platon Tinios from the University of Piraeus. Their paper is entitled Informal Social Protection and Family Indebtedness, Hidden Economic Crisis Dynamics, and the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure and an honor to be here. I'll try to be very brief, so there, I hope further discussion can take place later on after the questions or in the dinner. Our paper, which is jointly prepared by Plato and myself, is called Informal Social Protection and Family Indebtedness. Now, coming from an economics background, we're going to talk definitely about the crisis, but we're going to focus on a more or less invisible part of the crisis. An invisible even part of social protection, which is not very visible anyway to economists. We're going to deal with the family and small firms, and also women. So, the main argument is this, that during times of crisis, a great strain is put on productive systems, a great strain is put on redistribution and social protection systems, but maybe the biggest strain and challenge is to our firm beliefs about how the world is working, actually, and what works and what doesn't work. So, in a sense, part of this very acute crisis in Greece, we are witnessing a social protection crisis, which is only partly fueled by the financial crisis problems. Because our argument is social protection is not only what meets the eye, that is the formal welfare state, but also consists of another part which is very important, it's very significant, it's very invisible in terms of macro data, but it's very real at the same time. And this is the family, which offers protection to its members of various degrees of, closeness, but also further removed relatives and friends. Our main argument is that in order to see what's happening in social protection, we have also to unearth this invisible part, which is the family, which is basically financially linked with the small business, the family business and the family farm. This is where it gets its financial, basically, strength. And if we only focus exclusively on the formal social protection, we are going to miss probably a very dramatic event in the future. And this may be, or could be, I'm not saying that this will be, the bankruptcy of the informal social protection mechanism, i.e. The bankruptcy of the family. So this is a work in progress. We haven't reached definitive conclusions. I'm going to give you a tour d'horizon, basically, and I'm looking forward to objections, really, and different points of view. So the Greek welfare state is a hybrid system. It consists, as I said earlier, by two main blocks, the formal welfare state and the informal one. Now, I'm not going to talk about the formal one, but the people who have really done research on it appear to be unanimous on two, at least, basic characteristics. One is the fragmentation, that is, it has different rules and different gifts for different kinds of groups and people. And this fragmentation can go on for so long because the whole situation is very opaque, so nobody knows exactly what the other gets. So this and inequality can be reproduced. And the second characteristic is a legalistic formalism that is a very strong legalistic language and rhetoric in favor of rights, while the financing of these rights is only secured for the privileged few political clientele, really. And it sort of gets disjointed, the rhetoric of rights, from the means of financing their realization. So the formal welfare state developed as a process of layering new regulations on a very weak basis. And the reason, the thing is that lots of influences, lots of risks could not be covered by the formal welfare state. A number of these instances are covered, in effect, by the shadow or informal welfare state, and I give you here a number of specific functions. Childcare, to a large extent, is covered by informal care. Elderly care, to a very large extent, is covered by informal care. Long-term unemployment, definitely. Transition from education to work, and the long years that pass between the bachelor degree and the first job in Greece. In specific sectors, like less privileged categories, occupationally mobile people, people with very weak attachment to the labor market, women, minorities, and also at the entry and exit points of the labor market, where the most bottlenecks happen to occur, and where the formal system does not offer any consolation. What is interesting is that gaps in the formal system exist, of course, at the lower end, but this was probably to be expected, but also at the upper end of the income distribution. Because when the need is for services, and services are not cannot be bought for money, let me put it like this, then you can end up with people having all the financial prerequisites, but are being unable to solve their care needs because there is no market for what they actually need to get. So how did this, or does this informal welfare state exist? I mean, what is the mechanism that finances it? Now, the idea is that the informal social protection system is based on a system of circles of solidarity. Imagine throwing a pebble in a lake, and the concentric circles, the immediate relatives are the first circles, and then it goes on. The informal protection is caused by a number of characteristics of the Greek case, like the cohesive family with intergenerational solidarity, the prevalence of small family firms and small family farms that have tended to absorb excess labor, the relatively equitable wealth distribution at the start, I mean at the start of the 20th century basically, but although inequalities have increased, they started from a relatively equitable basis. And of course the legacy of rural-urban migration, which means that there still exist active links between urban and rural areas. But all the four aspects that I've just mentioned become important and really functional because of the fifth one, which is the role of women. And this is not to celebrate, women's roles, because I do not happen to believe that this is what women should do, but I cannot shy away from the fact that they actually do it. And what they actually do is they provide also the actual care functions that are needed for the family, for the relatives, for everything. They also have tended to work for free in family business, that is, create the financial basis that allows the family to take care of its relatives, and also when they manage to go out and get a job, they also contribute financially to this thing. I'm going to go very quickly through these graphs. These are only to show you that the percentage of people over 50 years of age that are receiving informal care is higher in Greece compared to other countries, and it's even higher when you consider older individuals, that is over 75 years of age, and especially individuals that have increased needs due to health difficulties and so on and so forth. So what we can see is that in Greece there is a greater mobilization of informal care, especially when need arises. And also in the right-hand panel you can see the negative slope of the curve that links the paid care and the informal care on a daily or at least weekly basis, and you can see that Greece is somewhere on the far end down to the right, whereas other countries have a different position. What I also wanted to give you for illustrative purposes only is the importance of the informal care system throughout, not only at the end of life, I mean after the age of 50 or after the age of 75, but throughout the life cycle, in order to address pressing difficulties like unemployment. We have worked with the data of a data set called SHARE, which looks at the European, European panel data. And we have, in the retrospective way, we have asked people, who covers your immediate financial needs during the periods that you were out of work throughout your life? And you can see here in the left side of the graph here that in Greece the financial support comes from partners, from family and friends, and only 5.8% of the cases reported some benefits from the state. Whereas even in southern countries, that is Italy and Spain, it doesn't include Portugal or whoever else, this is twice as much the contribution of the formal system in addressing financial needs during unemployment. The average of all countries is another three times more than the average of southern countries. So you see how weak the experience of support from the formal welfare state is. I'm going to discuss the next one. I'm going to just go very quickly through the mechanism of the crisis and the hybrid welfare state. Okay. So what we're arguing here, and this I'm not going to develop at all, is that on the one hand we have the financial crisis and the fiscal crisis of the Greek state, which means that a number of funds have been cut down that were supposed to go to the formal social protection. This means that a number of functions already performed by this imperfect welfare state, formal welfare state, cannot be performed any longer due to cuts. Furthermore, the number of people in need due to loss of their job or due to their deteriorating financial situation is increasing, which means that there is a great strain that has to be addressed by the informal social protection system to cover the shortcomings of a formal system and to also cover greater numbers of people in need. The the sequence of events is that the crisis has made necessary a generalized horizontal expenditure cuts, which is also followed by hesitant and late proclamation of structural reforms. I don't know if followed is the correct word. I'm afraid it isn't. Maybe it isn't followed, but it is being said. This means that the greater needs for social protection arise mainly in the short term. People who are in a very difficult situation are hoping to get out of it by cashing in all the guarantees they've managed to get from the state the previous year. So if they, for instance, can get early retirement, they do it straight away, even by accepting slightly lower pension, because they think that if they wait a little bit longer, maybe they won't get anything, not let alone, I mean, the... So, as everybody does this, what appears to be rational from the individual point of view creates a total madness, because what is rational from the individual point of view, if it is accumulated on a large scale, it creates a self-destruction mechanism that sort of drives the system from any of the few remaining funds, which means that the informal welfare state is squeezed because it has to get in. Why it is squeezed from both ends? It is squeezed because more claims are made for its support, and on the other hand, its own financial basis, that is, taxes, policies
tolerance
of evasion and bank liquidity have gone. 1 minute, okay. So what we have here really, and what is really very stressful for individuals in distress, is a problem of family liquidity which feeds the difficulties in the social provision. The family has to survive. I mean, its role as the main provider of social protection has to overcome the direct austerity impact in wages, in taxes, on outcomes, has overcome the increase of unemployment and job losses within the family, has to overcome the business decline, which is part and parcel of the crisis, and thus it has to overcome the assets rundown, which also is part of the problem. But on the other hand, the solidarity reserves are drying up gradually, because each tranche of solidarity can exhaust itself, and then you have to move to the further one, but the further one is removed. So there is a possibility, and this is our alarm bell really, there is a possibility that because the family has performed so many functions, economic and social, for so many decades, we tend to take it for granted. We think that it can go through a difficult patch, it can have difficulties to tackle the situation, but in the end it has always been there, it's going to remain there. I don't think that this is a very fruitful way of dealing and going about it. I think that when we look at histories of small business bankruptcies, for instance, you realize that the firm is there, it's there, it's there, it's there, and suddenly it isn't there anymore because there is a discontinuous situation, and the exhaustion of reserves, financial and solidarity reserves, is probably going to lead to some kind of bankruptcy of the pillar of informal social protection. So the main challenge is to try and boost the liquidity of the family and I don't want to take up more of your time. I'm sure that we shall have the chance to. Yeah.